Hi, friends. Thank you for tuning in today for this second part of the series on boarding schools. In part one, Making the Decision, we centered the TCK in our explanation of the factors that seem to influence thriving or struggling in a boarding environment. In part two, we'll explore just as broad a topic, this one centered on how parents of TCKs can help their families to intentionally approach the transition and then to find a way to maintain communication and connection as they parent long distance. As with everything written on the topic of boarding schools, I cannot speak in absolutes. These are broad ideas and concepts intended to guide families toward a healthier boarding experience, but not a multi-point equation that guarantees results if followed precisely. Every family, every parent, every child, and every boarding school will add its own unique elements to this process. My goal in the second installment of this series is to outline some of the considerations easily missed in the often chaotic on-ramp to such a monumental transition. I'll sprinkle in plenty of quotes from TCKs and TCK parents, submitted as responses to two informal surveys I ran in preparation for this series. Note that there are more quotes in the written version than in this audio version, and I'll link to the original article in the show notes. So, without further introduction, this is Boarding Schools, Preparing and Parenting. To frame some of the recommendations I'm going to offer here, let's begin by looking at some of the reasons families had for choosing boarding school. These are the rationales that came up most often in the survey. Melissa said, "Input into spiritual and social development, extracurriculars." Don C. wrote, "The kids needed to prepare for eventual return to their home country, and I didn't want them to be way behind socially." MK Mom in France wrote, "Avoiding some of the traps, beliefs, undercurrents, worldviews that we saw in the French educational system." And Matt said, "A desire for them to have exposure to their passport culture before being completely independent, and the isolation of our place of service." Parents were quick to point out the benefits of the boarding experience for their children. Joy listed deep, lasting Christian friendships and inclusion in Christian community in their heart, language, and culture. Betsy mentioned being taught by people who genuinely cared for them as individuals and had sacrificed much to be there. M wrote, "They had opportunities to be involved in extracurricular activities like sports and drama that were significant to their growth and development." And MK Mom in France said, "They have built worldwide networks of friends, many of which have lasted into adulthood." But parents also reported that it wasn't all easy. This is the reality of the boarding decision. For every important wonderful, there is often an accompanying hard. Several parents shared about this difficult duality. Anon said, "For my children, it was a place I watched them flourish and grow spiritually, relationally, emotionally, and educationally. There were countless losses and sacrifices, but for our family, they were worth it." And Joy wrote, "It was the best choice we had available at the time, and it was good for them, but the cost was way higher than I knew, and I regret not doing more to mitigate that." TCKs, too, see the tension between the wonderful and the hard. Julia wrote this longer piece. She said, "Even those of us who thrived still had to work through stuff later, as even the loss of the boarding school culture after graduation was so significant, not to mention the often unresolved grief of a confusing identity that can take a long time to piece together." I believe it's still worth the trade-off for my growing up experiences. Others may or may not. The losses, of course, are inevitable, as are some of the transitional pangs you can expect in a move from living at home to studying at a distance from home. It would be foolish to assume that any teen could make that leap without a period of difficulty. But the risks of boarding school distress can be mitigated. The first line of defense is what I discussed in the previous episode in this series, making sure that your child is the right candidate for boarding school and that the boarding school you choose will meet his or her needs. The second line of defense will be the advanced work you're able to put into it. That's the goal of this episode. To equip you as parents to understand the complexity of this transition, to prepare your TCK for the changes ahead, and to enter knowledgeably into the ongoing long-distance parent-child relationship that will follow. I've broken this episode down into 6 chapters so you can follow along a little bit more easily. They are preparing for transition, preparing for boarding, preparing for independence, preparing for goodbyes, preparing for speed bumps, and preparing for parenting long distance. Preparing for transition. Anon wrote, "For my children, it was a place I watched them flourish and grow spiritually, relationally, emotionally, and educationally. There were countless losses and sacrifices, but for our family, they were worth it." I've written fairly extensively on transition, mostly in the context of a family moving as a unit from one place to another. The uniqueness of this transition, though, is that part of the family will be moving, but the rest will be staying home. There's something destabilizing about that, as the emotions and processing of those who stay will be slightly different from the emotions and processing of those who leave. That means that the needs of each party will likely be somewhat different, too. Another complicating factor of this transition is that it isn't a forever thing. Your child will still be returning home during breaks. He isn't leaving for good. She isn't saying permanent goodbyes. But the fact is, departure for boarding school marks the end of an era. And though your TCK will return, the current dynamics of your family will likely never be quite the same. There's something to be mourned in what will be lost, just as there is something to be celebrated in what will be gained. Finding a way to navigate this complicated landscape will require both attention and intention. My recommendation is that you center the TCK who is leaving home as you implement some of these suggestions for transition. They're based on an article I wrote a couple years ago, which is also linked in the show notes. This plan has 5 steps. It follows the acronym PEACE, P-E-A-C-E. And it anchors itself to this verse, John 14:27. "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." P is for plan. This planning stage might feel tedious. It is tedious. It's also a sanity saver. You'll want to put your heads together and make practical to-do lists, then take those lists to a calendar and figure out a timeline to get them accomplished well enough in advance of the beginning of the school year to minimize your and your TCK's stress. When is the final paperwork for school due? What's the best way to manage banking and an allowance for your child at boarding school? Can you fit in a fun family vacation before the school year begins? And what's the best timing for your drop-off trip to boarding school? And then there's the packing process. You know how slow or fast, how conscientious or haphazard your child's packing will be. Leave lots of time for that. And even break it down into phases, if that would help. The third step in the transition plan will give you further items to enter into your pre-move planning calendar. E stands for eliminate conflicts. I mentioned this in the last episode and will repeat it here. If your family is struggling or your relationships are strained, boarding school will not smooth things over. It may hide the tension, it may put off the next blow up, it may even de-escalate things for a while. But if there is conflict, distrust, or bitterness in your family, it simply must be addressed and healing sought well in advance of a child going off to boarding school. But this isn't just about family members. The conflicts in your TCK's life could be with friends, members of your community, or others. In the craziness of a major move, we often don't realize how crucial it is to invest intentionally in repairing broken or wounded friendships. But those loose strings aren't something you want your child to drag into the throes of adaptation to a new place, a new educational context, and a new community. So help your TCK to be intentional in acknowledging and seeking resolution as much as possible for any existing conflict. The A is for acknowledge. Acknowledge people, places, foods, customs, and anything else your TCK has loved in the universe he or she is leaving. This is my favorite step of the transition plan. Of course it is. It gives us permission to indulge a little. You may want to sit your TCK down again at some point well in advance of departure with a blank piece of paper and write down a few headers like people, places, foods, activities, and anything else that's important. Then use that calendar from the first step of this transition plan to make sure your TCK gets back to the places that are important, the foods that are favorites, and the people who have been mainstays in his or her life. Anything that's significant, really, as these lasts, even last for nows, will pave the way to some closure before a new beginning. The C stands for create space for emotions. We can be so task-focused, right? This is particularly true in the throes of a massive transition. We revert to a get-er-done mentality that certainly gets her done, but neglects other important aspects of a significant departure. It's okay to feel in the midst of transition. Scratch that. It is essential to feel in the midst of transition. Creating space for emotions for you as parents and for your TCKs will require three P's: permission, people, and processing time. Permission. Even with the hundreds of items staring at you from your to-do list, it's okay to tell your TCK or yourself that having a good cry is a healthy thing, or that acknowledging being overwhelmed or anxious might prevent those emotions from coming out in less manageable ways. This is big stuff you're dealing with, and big emotions are warranted. People. Who do you or your TCK need to spend time with? Who will understand what this feels like and be a supportive presence during this goodbying phase? Plan that time into your lives as an act of self-care. And processing time. What do you need to pause or postpone on your calendar to give yourself the time to sit still and the breathing space you'll need to fully experience this momentous transition, the joys and sorrows that are inevitable with a departure for boarding school? Emotions stuffed down or ignored don't go away. Giving them an outlet allows us to process in a healthier way, to be present, to remain connected to those who are leaving and to those who are staying, and to move on with fewer regrets. The E is for end consciously. we have a beautiful example of how to end consciously in the way Jesus himself prepared for his death. Not that anybody is dying here. But think about his words and actions on that last evening in the upper room, surrounded by those he loved the most. He allowed himself to grieve. He knew it was coming. He knew it was for good. And still, he grieved. He sought comfort from his Father, an infinite source of compassion and presence. He planned a final time with those who were closest to him. He expressed his affection for each of them. He continued to invest in others, though he knew his time on earth was ending, by washing their feet, preparing them for his death, and inspiring them for the future. As trite as it may seem, when approaching a significant ending, we might be wise to ask, what would Jesus do? And then follow the example he set as his life was nearing its end, even if the ending we're dealing with is just a departure for boarding school. Preparing for boarding. Anon wrote, "Be sure to do research on the culture of the school and leadership, and make sure you and your student are prepared for the potential social complexities ahead." You've probably already accumulated quite a bit of information about the school by this point in your journey, so now is the time to get into the nitty-gritty with your boarding student, looking at elements of the school that may need explaining or emphasizing. This could reduce some of the adjustment pangs that are inevitable during those first few months in a new living and learning environment. At some point in the application process, you'll have received a student handbook or some equivalent document from the school. Once you have it in hand, you'll suddenly have a lot more information to process. I highly recommend going through it together, page by page, as tedious as that may be. Here's a pro tip. Topping off this kind of study session with an ice cream outing makes the tediousness much more tolerable. Make sure your TCK understands what's expected in the classroom, the residences, and beyond. Are the broad strokes of the way the school and dorms function clear? How about the rules they'll need to live by? Even if students don't get the reasoning behind those rules, are they committed to following them? You'll want to look at the school's statement of faith together as well, and make sure your TCK understands its basic tenets. If there are areas in which your family has theological disagreements with it, formulate those, but also suggest words and postures your TCK can take if those come up in Bible class or elsewhere. Talk through what he or she can do if strong debates, the kind that feature raised voices, arise on spiritual topics, which is more and more common in the areas of, say, social justice or sexual identity. Look at the school calendar together and determine three things: when holidays and school breaks are, when your TCK will come home, and when you will visit him or her there. More on those visits later. There's something reassuring not only about knowing that there will be breaks in the schedule, but about having a clear idea of the new rhythms life will take on. And for TCKs with a bit more trepidation about living away from home, being able to count down to mom and dad's next visit might be a soothing thing. While looking at the school calendar, make note of the activities like field trips, away games, or retreats, and make sure you know whether the cost of these outings is covered by your school payments or considered extra expenses. I've seen too many students bow out of activities that would have been so good for them in so many ways because they didn't want to ask their parents for their funds to cover them. Make sure your boarding students have money for school functions like buying banquet tickets or play tickets or going to the movies if that's allowed or getting on a bus, and some extra funds for getting a treat every so often. Talk about a monocultural school dynamic. if the school's adult population is predominantly from one culture, have conversations about how that will play out in staff expectations, beliefs, and behaviors. TCKs do, by nature, have a tendency to harshly judge people who behave monoculturally, whether it be in the limits of their world awareness, their lack of instinctive understanding of some aspects of TCKs, their Western-influenced biblical interpretations, or the cultural traits that are jarring in an international context. Whatever you can do as a parent to foster understanding for these differences, a product of the single culture many staff members were raised in, it could significantly reduce some friction along the way. Also, have honest, maybe painfully honest, conversations with your TCK about sex and sexuality. If you're sending a teen off to school, this is your last chance to set a foundation of understanding and responsibility in this crucial area of human development. I've covered this much more thoroughly in my article titled, Parents of MKs, Please Talk About Sex. It, too, is linked in the show notes. Yes, Christian boarding schools are often populated with students who come from Christian homes. But trust me, there are no guarantees associated with that fact. Those Christian students are also humans. And they're teenaged humans. Humans whose sexuality is taking on much more complex dimensions in that age range. Humans who are woefully unprepared for a world in which sexuality is a defining feature, something conservative boarding school environments are not immune from. Austin X said purity culture and sexuality were not handled well. The dean of women once came to one of the girls' dorms and read a devotional that said you deserved to get raped if you wore immodest clothing. The teaching on sexuality TCKs will receive at boarding school will depend, year to year, on the adults of influence in your children's lives. It may be addressed in the classroom, in the dorms, in chapel, in church services, or in small groups. It may be shame-based or grace-based. It may accentuate guilt or elevate redemption. It may be predicated on rigid shoulds and shouldn'ts or couched as understanding of anatomy and brain chemistry. Your teenage humans need to have their understanding of sexual longings and impulses instilled in them by those who love them most, a message grounded in God's truth and redemption and His best plan for their flourishing, without spiritual manipulation, shame, disappointment, or disgust. Keep the lines of communication open even after your TCK is off at school. Whatever you can do to ensure that your children can freely report to you what they hear on this topic will be so helpful in preventing any toxic messaging from anchoring in a lasting way. I can't end this segment on preparing for boarding school without once again briefly addressing the universal reality of abuse. There is no denying the tragic history of student abuse imprinted on the legacy of boarding schools. Though we may want to think that modern safeguards, training, and oversight have eliminated the scourge of maltreatment and sexual assault, I can affirm that it still sadly happens. It may not happen as systemically as in some places in the past, but even one soul crushed by this kind of violence is a universe of pain that cannot be erased and could bleed on for generations. You need to talk about the reality and stratagem of abuse as a family, not to scare your children, but to protect your children. Discuss bullying so they can recognize it. It can get so misrepresented in residential communities as mild hazing or boys being rambunctious. What crosses the line? What kind of touch or verbal sexualization is unacceptable? What is the meaning of consent? And what should they do if their denial of consent is brushed aside? Is sexual abuse always violent? even within a dating relationship, what is healthy and what is unhealthy, and is pressure to comply ever okay? Please emphasize with your children that physical and emotional boundaries are good and healthy. They are not being selfish or self-centered by asking others to respect the limits they set. Here's something else that may be important for your cross-cultural TCKs. What kind of casual touch that is normal in your child's culture might be misunderstood in the boarding school's dominant culture? Clarity about this could prevent your own kids from having their motives and actions misunderstood. Perhaps just as importantly, your kids need to know to trust their instincts. If it feels wrong, it likely is wrong. They need to know that it is not only acceptable, but good to say no to unwanted words and actions, and they need to feel empowered to tell you about it, knowing you will not turn on them or turn away from them. And they need to know how to tell the appropriate school authorities about it too. And finally, spiritual abuse. In some ways, it's a more difficult form of maltreatment to identify. Scott McKnight, in an article I will also link in the notes, defines it as this: a form of emotional and psychological abuse. It may include manipulation and exploitation, enforced accountability, censorship of decision-making, requirements for secrecy and silence, coercion to conform, control through the use of sacred texts and teaching, requirement of obedience to the abuser, the suggestion that the abuser has a divine position, isolation as a means of punishment, and superiority and elitism. Environments like Christian boarding schools, where there is an institutional hierarchy often tied to spiritual authority, can be fertile soil for this kind of abuse in the name of Jesus. Whatever you can do to arm your TCKs with a clearer understanding of what is healthy and unhealthy spiritual authority will serve them well, not only in their youth, but throughout their lives. There are still young people, female and male, being submitted to physical, emotional, sexual, and spiritual abuse in our schools today. It comes from peers and leaders, and it thrives in the dark. Equipping your child to recognize it and denounce it will go a long way toward reducing his or her risk. Preparing for independence. Though your TCK will be living under the care and supervision of resident staff, this will still, for most TCKs, be a sudden launching pad into independence. Even those who have been longing for it and will thrive may experience a few growing pains, at least initially. Here are just a few topics you may want to discuss together before school begins. Let's start with needs. Knowing their personal needs may be the greatest asset TCKs can have as they head to boarding school. And it can be a sanity-saving thing when living in community with others. Help your boarding school-bound child to think through what would best set them up for flourishing. How much sleep do they need to be their best selves? How much alone time? How much time spent in physical activity? What kinds of food give them energy, and what kind of entertainment will give their brain a break? Chris wrote, "I needed to figure out the difference between what I needed to do and what I needed to thrive. The former was regimented by guidelines and deadlines written into our calendar. The latter had to be determined by setting my own priorities and schedule. That's the harder one." If you can help your TCK to figure out which needs are paramount to determining his or her quality of life, then set up a strategy to at least partially meet those, this could be a huge advantage when entering this independent phase of life. Whether your TCK has always had her own bedroom or shared a room with siblings from day one, moving into a residential setting where roommates are not family members may warrant some advanced thinking. You know your kids better than most people do. sometimes better than they know themselves. What do you think will be areas of frustration or challenge for them as they live in residences away from home? You may want to ask them how they feel about rooming with someone they don't know, if they'll be able to keep the room tidy for the sake of their roommate, what they'll do if the roommate wants to stay up too late and that starts to have an effect on their quality of life, how they'll respond if they're asked to do something they don't want to do. They'll need to understand the importance of compromise in finding a middle ground that both roommates can live with. Asking for help. Step into the mind of a 16-year-old just starting boarding school. She's left home for the first time, assuring her friends and family that she'll be fine. She's ready for the adventure and is going to do great. And in the first week of school, she discovers that her old educational system did math differently. She doesn't understand how to submit her assignments online, and she's run out of cash for paying for incidentals. Fresh off her assertions that she is ready for the independent high life, it may be hard for her to admit that she needs help. And telling mom and dad, who've been cheering her on with variations on, "You're so ready for this," it might feel like disappointing them. During the months leading up to the school beginning, do all you can as parents of your fledglings to instill in them a healthy appreciation of the value of asking for help. Floundering alone is not heroic, it's self-defeating, and it only exacerbates already complicated emotions. Seeking answers from those who have them will be a huge asset as they find their footing in new places. Mental health challenges at boarding school are not the norm, but they're not rare either. If your TCK already has a diagnosis before attending, get all the professional help you need in determining whether this is really the right option for your son or daughter. Then make sure the school and residence staff are fully informed and that regular check-ins are scheduled even before school begins with qualified therapists who can monitor the transition. Note that a school without therapists on staff may not be the safest place for a student with mental health challenges. Even if your child has no known mental health struggles, still be attuned to what you're hearing when you talk and visit. Anon wrote this, "My kids didn't have the emotional regulation skills or maturity to live independently. I watched at a distance as they struggled with their mental health, and I felt powerless as the gains outweighed the drawbacks." Make sure your TCK knows that it's essential to reach out to someone if they feel sadness or anxiety they can't seem to shake. Explain to them that it isn't weakness but courage to reach out for help, and that struggling in this area is not evidence of lack of faith or resilience. Be sure they know exactly who to call on campus and that they can ask the residence personnel or you to make that call for them. And finally, the 24/7 hotline. That's you. You're the 24/7 hotline. Even if they wince when you tell them that you want to keep in close communication, and even if they sound like they'd rather be anywhere else than talking on the phone with you, make sure you tell them as often as possible that you're there for them whenever they need you. The time of day doesn't matter. The severity of the issue doesn't matter. If they need to talk to you, you're there. They may act like you're being overdramatic every time you tell them, but it will lodge something warm and safe in the independent cockles of their teenage hearts. Preparing for goodbyes. This is the part that tugs at my heartstrings even now, 13 years after leaving the boarding school where I spent the first day of each academic year trying not to watch the families saying their goodbyes for the last time before Joe and Susie started their classes and Mom and Dad began their long trip home, minus one member of their family. What we all know about our international lives is this: goodbyes are hard, and goodbyes to our most dearly loved ones are the hardest. If at all possible, plan on both parents being there for the beginning of school. I wouldn't entrust this part of the boarding school experience to anyone outside of the family because of its relational significance and transitional intensity. There is just so much to take in and manage and make sense of during those first days of a new life. There will be plenty to keep you busy in the days you're there. Helping your TCK to get settled in the residence will likely be a whirlwind. Plan on spending money. There's no escaping it. There will be last-minute items that need to be purchased for the dorm room or for classes, plus maybe a fun item or two just to mark the moment. It may also be helpful for you to get acquainted with the layout of the school. If you already have a class schedule with locations listed, figure out which rooms your child will be studying in and the best way to get from one to the other during the day. This will reduce some of the stress of the first day of classes. You may also want to take the time to wander the neighborhoods around the school and get the lay of the land or grab a meal together in a new-to-you place. The school will probably organize this for you well before you get there, but if your TCK will be getting assistance in the ESL counseling or special education departments, meeting the teachers and therapists who will be involved in that will be essential too. You will have already shared so much in the application process, but one-on-one, real-world conversations will allow both sides to fill in any gaps that remain and will allow further long-distance communication to feel more personal. If there are family, friends, or colleagues in town who may be a source of support or hospitality for your TCK, plan some time together to ease into that further contact, too. Most importantly, take this time to have a meaningful conversation with the dorm parents and other resident staff who will be caring for your TCK in this place that will become a home away from home. Jesse said, make an effort to get to know or at least have a good conversation with the dorm staff. Learn about their parenting philosophies and make sure you're on the same page. And Becky wrote, make sure you develop a healthy relationship with the dorm parents, that they understand your values for parenting and your child's specific needs. If you have questions or concerns you haven't addressed yet, this is the time to voice them. But do bear in mind that the resident staff will be interacting with dozens of parents during the orientation phase, so it might be wise and helpful to follow up with an email in which you reiterate what you discussed so it can be filed away in case it's needed down the road. And when the time comes to actually say goodbye, as always, I encourage you to be authentic in your emotions, not to the extent that your child feels that he has to parent you, but in a way that expresses your love and pride. I've seen so many parents over the years attempt to be stoic as they hugged their TCK and got into their car, but that can inadvertently send the message that this is easy and doesn't matter a whole lot. As much as your child may not want to see your tears, your emotions will communicate how difficult this goodbye is for you and give him or her permission to feel it too. Make sure your parting words are affirming. You may even want to leave your child a note to be read later when they're missing home and missing you. Just make of this moment, if you can, something that is loving and profound. Preparing for the speed bumps. The number of TCKs who suggested in the survey that parents make sure they give their kids an out was significant enough that I need to mention it here, particularly if your child is still unsure about boarding school or his or her ability to thrive there. Communicating that if it just doesn't work, they can always come home might be the balm that gets them through the rough patches during the adaptation phase. Melissa wrote, keep evaluating as time goes by in case a new decision needs to be considered. We considered each of our three children and their specific needs. Had we felt the need to change schools or ministries at any time during their schooling, we would have done so. Dawn C. wrote, give them an out if they can't handle it. We said this to one of our kids, but she ended up adapting and loving it. but knowing there's an out helps them to know you are not being cruel. MKs like Bobby and KI support this suggestion. KI wrote, "Boarding school is not a good fit for everyone, but your child may struggle to tell you they're struggling because they feel like a failure for not being able to handle it." And Bobby wrote, "My parents left the field partly because a sibling was struggling with boarding school, and it was the best thing they could have done. Said sibling has had an amazing life, and I think that made all the difference." It will be up to you, of course, as parents, to determine if a trial period would be best for your TCK and how long that period will be. You don't want that off-ramp to become an escape hatch your reluctant student will use to avoid even trying to fit into a new place. My sense is that anything less than a semester may be too short. It's easy for someone to live above the surface for a few months, never even trying to put down roots, if there's an exit plan right around the corner. A full semester or even a full year would ensure that there is some amount of integration that happens before anyone pulls the plug. With that recommendation, I'm obviously referring to the minor speed bumps that may occur at the beginning of a TCK's time at boarding school. Missing home, adjusting to a new educational method, learning to live in a residence, losing some independence, and managing a slew of firsts. If something serious happens, though, there is no predetermined timeline that should trump rescuing your child. Whether it be a medical or mental crisis, an insurmountable conflict, an allegation of abuse, or some other urgent need, all I can say is drop everything and get there as quickly as you can. Long-term decisions can be made later. But first, your TCK needs to know that there is nothing more important to you than being his or her parent. Getting there quickly, if the situation warrants it, even if only in your child's eyes, will speak volumes about your commitment and love. And for those other smaller speed bumps, as they report frustrations or concerns to you, you'll need to determine whether urging them to find solutions or stepping in as a parent will be the best way forward. If you feel that your TCK can talk to the right people to resolve minor issues, that can be a great learning curve. But if you feel that requiring that would only further exacerbate their distress, you can step into the gap as a concerned parent and mediate for them. Preparing for parenting. Long-distance parenting seems to be a learned skill set, and so many of the parents who responded to the survey listed regrets they have about their children's boarding school years. I'd like to read a few of them here, as regrets so often can be our best guides. Anon wrote, "I wish we had built more relationship with their peers, teachers, and dorm parents so we could be more connected at a distance." Joy wrote, "I wish we had visited more, prioritized family over ministry more, and fought harder for connection." And Matt shared, "We wish we would have gone to more events our daughter's first year, and had a parent there at the break times between terms." The feedback from parents was consistent, and it fell into two essential categories, which I'll list as their recommendations to you. Number one, communicate faithfully. Set up a regular time when you plan to call, but also be willing to reschedule that appointment to accommodate school demands. Make sure your TCK knows that these conversations are a priority, and prove it by being consistent. Parents and TCKs have great recommendations. MK Mom in France wrote this, "It can be tempting to check out when you're not on-site parenting, but keep asking about their school activities, their dorm activities, their friends, their ups and downs, their sports. And make sure to leave room for them to express their sadness, missing home, or wanting you to visit. Don't shame those feelings or make them feel like they shouldn't feel those things. It's important to embrace the hard parts of it, along with the good aspects of it, for parents and for kids. You may want to come into your conversations armed with questions that cannot be answered by a simple yes or no. Follow the school's social media pages and calendar so you can ask about events that have happened. Many schools now stream concerts and games. You can watch those too and have that much more to chat about when you call. And then dig a bit beneath the surface of facts to learn about your child's feelings about what you've seen, his or her concerns, accomplishments, even their general state of mind. Anne said, keep good communication with them so they know you love them deeply and your ministry is never more important than they are. And Telba wrote, invite open and honest feedback about their experiences and then believe what they tell you. Number two, visit regularly and make it a priority. This may be the most crucial bit of advice I offer you for this post-drop-off era of your child's boarding experience. The value of making trips to spend time with your TCK cannot be overstated. Melissa said, we prioritized our kids and traveled every 3 or 4 weeks to spend time with them and be present for their social events. And Matt wrote, do your best to visit kids at school between breaks and hopefully to see at least one of their after-school events if possible. Be very intentional in the times you do get with the kids. With each visit, you'll learn more about the world your TCK lives in and be more connected to the people who populate it. Be there for the major milestones in your child's life, even if it requires budgeting for the extra cost of travel and lodging. TCKs themselves emphasized the importance of visits. Amber R. put it well. Plan to visit at least once before graduation. Let them take you to their favorite restaurant, watch them compete in a sport, or watch a performance they've been practicing for. It was so meaningful to me when my mom visited once and watched me run a cross-country race. And when your children return home for the holidays or the summer break, make sure those days are not only memory makers as a family, but also relationship builders. Once again, parents who have been there before you express it best. SJM wrote, have some debriefing when kids come home for vacation. Sharing experiences and questions is very important. What was fun, what was hurtful, and other possible things. Listen carefully. Acknowledge pain. And Joy wrote, make your family a priority. This is your first trust, your first calling. Make sure school breaks and visits really are quality time. There is so much more I could write about preparing for boarding school and parenting after it begins, but again, covering it all would take volumes. I do want to reiterate that sending a child to boarding school is a complex and complicated endeavor, and that there are no simple instructions to make it smooth and easy. My hope is that some of what we've covered in these two episodes will create a framework from which you'll be able to take thoughtful steps forward, guided by prayer and buffered by God's promises. With that said, I'd once again like to end with honorable mention for 1MK's tongue-in-cheek response to the first survey question, what were the benefits of boarding school for you? These are the three things Dr. T said were most beneficial to him. 1, being trained to evade authority on a regular basis. 2, development of diplomatic skills when living with 39 other boys, skills that I now deploy daily as the chief medical officer of 3 critical access hospitals. And 3, being trained to think way outside the box, as in creative interpretation of the student handbook. I'm pretty sure that Dr. T is a former student of mine, and I am not in the least surprised that this dubious skill set has served him well. In closing, please don't hesitate to reach out to me if you have any questions about your family's more specific circumstances. There are contact links all over my website. You can also easily schedule a Zoom conversation with me by clicking on the Calendly link that'll be in the show notes. You may note that there will be fewer Zoom options listed during the months of the year when I'm traveling more. If that's the case and you do need to reach me, simply email me and we can set up a time outside of the Calendly options. Thank you so much, friends, for taking the time to listen in today. My prayer as I release this episode into the world is that families who are preparing together for the momentous transition to boarding school will find something useful in what we've talked about here. If this content has been beneficial for you, you may want to check out the rest of the Pondering Purple episodes going all the way back to January 2020 and share them with others who would find them useful too. Make sure you click on this episode's notes for links to all the resources I've mentioned, as well as to the article this episode is based on. Remember, it will contain a lot more TCK quotes than what you've heard here. And please, don't forget to leave a comment anywhere this podcast and article are posted, my website, social media, or the platform you're listening on right now. This is a conversation, and I want to hear from you. As I wrap up this recording today, I want you to know that I celebrate the purple you are or the purple you love. Thank you for listening.